Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:50 Central African Time. At that time of the morning, where we join our very own Councillor Ahmed Parakani, the segment Straight Talk. But Straight Talk will kick off with the latest news on Kafan Dafan, inshallah. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And jazakallah khairah for joining us on this beautiful Sunday morning. How are you doing, Ahmed?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alana salam to all our radio listeners on a very, very beautiful shining Sunday morning, Shafat. Allah has blessed us with another fine day, Shafat.
Absolutely. When you look at the fine day day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us the morning, and we're so fortunate, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us to experience another day. When it comes to the kafan dafan side of it, what's the latest, Ahmed?
Shafat, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, everything is very, very quiet. There is no major issues in any one of the government department or anything. Yes, we get on a day-to-day basis, we have problems in the government mortuaries and all. That is a normal thing at the moment because of the load sharing. And with the DNA issues that we're having in Pretoria, those are the only outstanding matters. But other than that, alhamdulillah, with the help of Allah, everything is fine so far. The matter of Cape Town, they haven't come back to us. We will be following it up shortly to find out what is going on, whether the after-hours burial are taking place or not taking place there. We will be following that up shortly, Shafat.
I got a message here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafat Ahmed Khan. Please ask Councillor Ahmed Parak about the killings that are taking place in the KZN region. How many of our Muslim businessmen have succumbed to these killings, especially in remote areas? A lot of these killings are underreported. And has Julius Malema something to do with this, with his Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer song? That's a good question there, Ahmed.
Shafat, the Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer, that is not so much of an issue that what we're finding. What we're getting is in our rural area, in our township, where we got our foreign brothers are running the tuck shops, the spaza shops. That's where our problem is. And especially in Transkei, where in Transkei, we are having a lot of debts are coming through because, you know, the foreigners are doing big business there. And what they are doing is they're killing them. And then that's where we have to shift the body back to Pakistan or India, wherever they are coming from. But other than that, we're not having any in Durban and surrounding. Yes, in the township, there are no black on black and all that, but not so much on the Muslim front or anything like that, Shafat.
Yeah, and you find out that most of the brothers that come from Somalia, from Ethiopia, Morocco, and Egypt, they're into businesses, and the people from Bangladesh and India, they've gone into these spaza shops also. But then you get the other migrants, like the Mozambicans and the Malawians. They are more of the artisan type. They are more the, you know, contractors and the carpenters. Ahmed, talk to me about that.
Shafat, the Somali brothers, the Egyptian brothers from Sudan, they're into our rural areas and into all of townships and all, where they're doing a lot of business with and a lot of Pakistani. And, you know, Pakistani are strong. I was shocked. Like, you know, I went into the heart of Nongoma. I go into the heart of Maran Hill. I go into the heart of Mabel. You know, Shafat, if you go to Mabel, we think Mabel is where the masjid and all in Mabel, Lokas Masjid and all that is the part of Mabel. But you need to go inside, then you'll see how big Mabel is. So when I went in there, and you know, when we get calls to assist them, everything, when we go to due diligence and we go check things up first, and you know, when we see, then only you realize how much of the Pakistanis and the Somali brothers and Egyptians, and they are there doing business. Yes, you're right, part of the Malawi brothers are mainly artisan builders. They are hardworking people. There are a lot of them are tailors, and there are a lot of them are working a lot of clothing industry in KZN, and also in the country. I was in Pretoria a couple of weeks ago, and in Pretoria, there's maybe about in one factory I went, there must be about 40, 50 of them. And all good machinists, and they know to work with the patent machines, you know, the big machines and all, they're masters at that. But you know, when you look at what the revenue is collected with the spaza shop, I was like shocked. 150,000 spaza shop nationally. ShopRite controls 3,150 stores of there. Pick and Pay is about 2,000. 80% of South African population visit a spaza shop each day. 40% of South Africa food is bought at a spaza shop daily. 70% of South Africa's bread is sold at spaza shop daily. The spaza shop market is worth 178 billion. For you to get a breakfast in the morning, you can buy a breakfast combo, 1 teaspoon of Cremora, 1 tea bag, 1 boiled egg, 2 slices of bread for 10 rand. But this is the latest debt that I managed to pull it out from a friend of mine, and he's giving me, this is the latest, because this is where, you know, ShopRite, Pick and Pay and all, they do their due diligence who they supply. So if it's 178 million rand business countrywide, but the spaza shop market is 99% controlled by foreigners. Most of this money is taken out of South Africa illegally. We let a very valuable piece of business get out of our hands, and absolutely nobody in government is trying to get this back into the hands of South Africa. Now, yeah, you're looking at just under 180 billion annually. We're looking at this big money. This is massive money. How many people are employed in this 150,000 spaza shop? But the money that we are talking about is tax-free, is smuggled out of South Africa. So that's where we need to tap, and our government need to tighten that section up, because that money can stay. You know, in Islam, why interest is forbidden? For one of the main reasons is the money. A rich don't get richer, and the poor don't get poorer. That is the same thing. Now, if you take in this 170 and 150,000 spaza shop, you're looking at South Africa and the money going out of the country illegally, and it's by foreign. There's no taxation. There's not nothing. So this is a very important factor we need to now, in the new government, what we're putting together. That's why we say we need to regularize this industry and the taxi industry. This is two major industries. It's a money-spinning industry in the country, Shafan.
No, you're absolutely right. We need to regulate this, and it's a money spinner. But for 10 rand, you can give them a decent meal like that. And I can tell you that perhaps these spaza shops are also alleviating starvation and hunger, Ahmad.
That's one. For 10 rand, the guy is getting Cremora, he's getting a tea bag, 1 boiled egg, 2 slices of bread. You can, for 10 bucks, if you have a nice breakfast like that, you can pull the day, Shabbat. So, they're getting a value for money. There's no doubt about that, Shabbat.
No, absolutely. As you say, even the government won't think about giving people a boiled egg a day or a bread a day and all. You don't worry. There's soup kitchens and that. Never. They don't think about things like that. They only think about, yeah, don't worry. You're going to pay for electricity and this is going to happen, and that will go up, and milk will go up, and bread will go up. The price of rice will... I mean, they don't think... The government has absolutely no empathy for the poor of this country, Adam. I mean, Ahmad.
Shafat, I'll give you a very good scenario. I think about a week ago, about a week ago, there's a school here in Ambiro, right near our doorstep. It's called an open-air school. Now, in that school, it's only disabled students they got from class 1 right up to grade 10. Shafat, when you go there, if you don't cry, there's something wrong. When you see these children, and you see this adults doing right up to matric, and you will see them how they, one haven't got no leg, one don't have no hand, and they come and do, and they're eager to learn and do something about themselves and to say, you know what, I'm not disabled, I can make things happen. And you must see the work rate come out from that school. It's a government school. But what we found, and when I went there, personally, I went there, Shafar, I was called out to go, let's just, a child, a nine-year-old child, with no one hand and no leg. And that child lives in the heart of Mayville. She has to walk like about, to get her, to, the vehicle picks her up at 7. And if she missed that vehicle, she doesn't go to school. It's about a 1.5 kilometer walk from where the vehicle, the road, and where she stays. And it's a steep going down and coming up. Shafat, you get tired. That's how, that steep house, steep hill it is to bring that child up. And you know, with no one leg, no one hand, and it's a mission. I looked at it, everything. Then I went to the school. We spoke to the principal. We said, you know what? There is a dormitory they have, but they're full. They can't assist everybody because they get sponsored. People sponsor a child and all that. So I went there. I said, now we're busy working with the social workers there to see if we can get that child into a boarding school close by there where they can look after her and she can go to school. She don't miss school. And Shafat, you won't believe it, bright student at the age of 9. The English she speaks is, you know, it's unbelievable. And I said, no, there's somebody really, really deserves something. And I went out there speaking to the social workers. We're busy putting something together, see if we can get bursary for her. Inshallah, somebody, some Allah wala will assist. And when I go and show them, give them the dossier of that child, how she stays, what the hand, leg, and everything else, somebody will feel, and Allah wala will give for that, for the bursary, and inshallah, I'll get a properly educated, and the potential that child has got is unbelievable. Then I made arrangement with the St. Augustine Hospital where they were going to assist her, see if we can get an artificial leg and an artificial hand that might be able to assist us as well. But the irony of this whole thing, Shafat, when I spoke to the principal, the children comes at 7:45, they start school. Right till 10 o'clock, there must be about 150 to 60 students. Children there at the school, they don't have no lunch, nothing. So the first lunch they get is when the school prepares for them. Somebody brings bread or somebody, whoever brings all that, they get peanut butter and jam or whatever it is, only 10 o'clock. Now you tell me, Shafat, one, the child is disabled. Number two, the earliest means she can get is 10 o'clock. Now, is that right? So I made arrangement to one of my guys I know very close at the bulk market. We started to give them fruits. Every morning they get banana, apple, and an orange or an achi or something to keep them. And then we're putting a fully fledged soup kitchen there in the next week or so. That will be up and running. We made arrangement for rice from Goldkish. They will be assisting us with rice. They'll be cooking rice. For lunchtime, they got a nice solid meal before they even go home. And that's how a child can learn. Now, hungry, a child is hungry and disabled. How you expect the child to function, Shafat? If you only go and see on the ground, then only you come to know what is happening, Shafat.
Amazan, Jazakallah khair for sharing that. And I see our newsman is sleeping today too. So I'll just do a quick few headlines and I want you to comment on that. What lies ahead for Pakistan as it heads to the polls? And the article says, Pakistani caretaker government under the interim Prime Minister Anwar ul Haq Kakar will oversee a general election after the dissolution of the lower house of parliament. The election is meant to be held within 90 days by November, but uncertainty looms over the date as the nation grapples with constitutional, political and economic crisis. Kakar and his cabinet will run the government until a national election is held and the winner can secure parliamentary majority and a new government. Kakar is very close to the military of the Pakistani power, the military which is under the control of the USA and other role players. Imran Khan will not be contesting the election as he's been given a 3-year jail sentence. It seems as if a Pakistani authorities and the military will try and delay and play a delay tactics so that Imran Khan and the nation will be duped into thinking that elections will be held. Yes, that is looking at that. Then Jacob Zuma, he makes a mockery of the judicial system, and everyone says Jacob Zuma is brilliant at Stalingrad, and now he's having the last laugh after wasting so much of the taxpayers' money. West African regions, a group, weigh in on Niger coup, as they are worried that they will be next in another coup that will allow the that will stop the colonizers from looting from their countries. And finally, Lenasia kid stabbed as gangsters break bottles and have a gangsterism problem in this Gauteng region. Every South African should be concerned about EFF singing of "Kill the Boer, Kill the Farmer." Well, those are some of the headlines this morning. What do you want to comment on, Ahmed?
Shabbat, firstly, the Pakistani issue, that unless they take Imran Khan out, that country is not going to be stabilized. That's one thing, you can write it on the wall. They have to do whatever it takes, Imran Khan, because the support base he's got in Pakistan is unbelievable. So that's number one. As far as the Jacob Zuma, if you say they made a mockery of the justice system in the country, no, I don't think so, Shafat, because the issue was, when this matter went to the Supreme Court of Appeal, in Supreme Court of Appeal, 8 judges sit there. They made a decision was taken that it need to go back to the correctional services. When it came back to the correctional services made the right decision. You cannot release Shafat Ahmad Khan and then recall him back to go and serve the balance of his prison service. What agreement was made between the correctional services and Jacob Zuma, where he got parole on the basis of house arrest, which he served. Now you can't bring him back into jail. And if you only brought him back into jail, you know what should have happened? You should have had another right in the country. And I think this decision, he was pardoned on the right basis. And in fact, this morning's paper also says that Ramaphosa made the decision by pardoning some of these prisoners on these bases. So on that day, I think what I'm reading it right. And I think you can't take it back into prison because you have already given him he has already served, and the agreement was made that he's going to be out of this thing on parole, and that's it. When the parole committee sits, they make that decision. So now if anybody stuffed it up or anything like that, they didn't put it right, was the parole board. The parole board is consisted of about 12 to 15 people before they make a decision to give anyone. And it goes through to the doctors, psychologists, and everything. And then only they release somebody. That's how the system works. So I think on that one there, I don't think they have wronged themselves there by not releasing Jacob Zuma. So that's the big issue there, Shabbat. Kill the Boer, kill this thing. That is just a ploy this man will always use before election and everything. You know, just to hype, because that's the only way he can get his votes. And I believe this matter is before court. And this is one time, I think he's got one other pending matter as well. So I think, they're getting on very, very thin ice on this tour as well, Shafat.
Hi, sir, Ahmed, I got a phone call. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah, it's Jay-Z. He's telling me on the phone. Tell Ahmed, he must join me. What do you say, Ahmad? Jay-Z likes you. What are you going to do?
I'm happy where I am. I want to carry on where I am. That's it.
Oh, I have to phone Jay-Z back. Give him the bad news. I must reckon he's in action. He knows what he's doing, where he is. Yes, Ahmad, I'll be looking at a lot of things happening in our part of the world. And, you know, people are complaining the water service is not coming through, this happening. And, you know, on another platform, I spoke to you about someone complaining there in the South Coast, you know, Falweni. And, you know, when I phoned the guy back, guess what he told me? He said, no, don't bring anyone here. He got the gabrat, Ahmad. He got such a gabrat. Please don't bring anyone. I mean, there's a lot of intimidation taking place. No service delivery, nothing's happening. But when you tell the people, they'll write to us, but you don't worry, I'll send a man to come do a, you know, inspection, on local inspection. And the people suddenly getting gabrat because they, I mean, it looks like they are, the local residents are held to maybe some intimidation. What do you read into that, Ahmad?
Shabbat, we get this all the time. That's the reason why we have a team that normally goes out. And I'm on the operation side of it. This matters, things like this come to me. Like this guy here, you're talking about Obama. I said, get me his number. I want to speak to him. Where he is, which part of Pulwani. I will send a team. And when we send a team, we send them, you know, fully geared team. With security, and nobody is going to touch our nation. Right? Where we go in the heart of Gumede's place in Nyandatu, we went there for the 21 election. We went right in the heart. Nobody will touch us or anything. Besides Allah, nobody else could do anything. And our guys go there, and we don't do that. We do what we have to do. And when we ask them for all this information, they don't come back to us and say, no. But these are the first one to jump and say, for 8 months, as this guy, brother is saying, for 8 months, we don't have water, we don't have this, we got a problem. Why don't the counselors come there and assist us? When we want to go there, then they're saying, no, don't come there because we don't want to be in trouble. And they're washing the river. We say, no, come tell us. Then only we can expose the issues. Like, recently, we exposed, Mother's Day was last week, Shabbat. Okay, ANC, they took out 5 million from our coffers. What we did a due diligence. We went to ICC. Who booked the hall? The venue. They said so and so. This thing. How many people they were supposed to get? Now, what they did was they're so sharp, Shafat, in council. They threw their Rakis there, they pushed this thing to make it, they took ANC out and they just made it Women's Day celebration. But the whole function was an ANC function. But who they wanted them to pay? The council to pay an ANC function. We exposed that, Shafat. We banged them so hard. Now we put a stop to it. The meeting is on Tuesday, our council meeting. We want to know how it, you know, because what they do is they bring it before council and there's so much of paperwork and everything has to go through. And this, our meetings, when it starts on 10 o'clock on Tuesday, it'll only finish about 11:30 at night. There's so much to do. So the problem is they know somehow or the other they'll smuggle it through and it'll get approved by the full council. So we have already put a stop to that. These things happen all the time. People want to smuggle things without the councillors know, the other parties know, that you have to be sharp at these things and picking all these issues up. Yeah,
Ahmad, I'm looking at a message from Faisal. He says, Assalamu alaikum, Bruce Chef and Ahmad. Both you guys really make us feel tops on a Sunday. We no more buying the Sunday newspapers. You guys give it on a platter. Hey, Jazakallah for that. Ahmad, I want to tell you that we should be careful of people playing games with us Muslims. We've been looted in the July insurrection and we've been brought down badly, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us going. Number two, they target us because they know we have soft hearts and they tell us their sad stories and then we give them aid. But when we ask them for on place location and to come and see what they do, they are playing this game of hide and seek with us. Please, Ahmad, be careful because you got a good heart and you got a good team around you. Don't let them exploit the slummers. Ahmad, how do you respond to Faisal there?
Shafat, Faisal, firstly, I appreciate that you're giving us good sentiments. I'm making shukar for that. But what we taught them in 21 election, I mean, the right that took place recently.
Yeah, the insurrection, yes.
They went and saw what Phoenix, the Port Jefferson, all over Durban. They're saying, Aibo, Suleiman, no, don't go near them. What weapons and what we had, Shafat, they won't come anywhere near us. They respect us and they know that. Yes, they know we're vulnerable too, because if they take us on one-on-one, we're in trouble. But when we are together, they won't come near us. They'll go walk on the other side. They know what we have. So therefore, what that right took place, and when they saw the ammunition and everything, what we had, Shafat, they said, hi boy. They all spoke about it, even in the ANP top Raqi. How did we got so much of firepower with the whites and the coloreds and everybody that got together and the firepower we had? So they're not going to do another stunt like that. The righty, what they had previously, is not going to work for them. And they know that very, very well, Shafat.
Yeah, Ahmad. Suhail says, Assalamu alaikum. Top show indeed, brother Shafat Ahmad Khan, Ahmad Parak, and compliments to the Markaz Sahaba team for putting a show like this. Ahmad, I want to tell you that, alhamdulillah, we really enjoy your rapport with brother Shafat. But the reality of the situation is that we're having only talk shops and the government is not walking the talk. Perhaps you in a little way, but what about this government? It seems as if they are politicking because it's time for elections, so they will please everyone, even the criminals. Please, Ahmed, advise. That's a very good question, Suhail. Jazakallah khair for that, Ahmed.
Shabbat, I agree with Suhail very 100%. The problem that we face is all our borders. Our borders are left like open. Anybody can come into South Africa. They want to go anytime they want. That is the problem. If you have seen the last 10th anniversary of EFF, 20,000 Zimbabweans were there. Maybe another 20,000 were, well, 15 or 20,000 were rental crowd. And the balance was his members. Shafat, that alone, they only had about 50,000 in that stadium there. That says to everyone in South Africa, because of our borders are open, openly they can come and do whatever they want, or they look after whoever they want at the borders, and they come in and out. That is a problem. Therefore, you'll also find a lot of murders that take in South Africa. We can't even close the dockets because they kill you here and they go back to the country. Who's going to find you? The problem that we need to now sort out is, from the people that are coming, they will do everything in their power, the ANC, EFF, and all, just for the numbers. You see, election is a number game. For 45,000 voters that votes for me, Action SA, I get one seat here in parliament, and I get one seat in the provincial government here. Everybody will do whatever it takes to get into government. And you must understand, ANC, they only know one thing, is to stay in government. How to lose the government and stay in government, that's their business. Nothing else. You'll see, from 1994 right up to today, how many of them are serving? How many, you know, each term is 5 years. How many of them are still in government? That is the only thing they know, Shafat. They don't know anything else but to stay in government. Now, that has to break. Now, this 2024 election will sort the boys from its men. What's going to happen is, new parties are in the game now. Action SA is there. You got DA stepping up the mark now. You got IFP stepping the mark up. Buterezi is very, very ill at the moment. Today's paper, they're all praying for him. He's 84. He's going to, in 27th of August, he's going to be 95 years old. So he's had his innings. So the problem is, EFF is coming very, very strong. The new player in the block is Action SA, and he's coming full steam, and we're going all out there to win votes. And we're getting there because we got a policy. We want ethical government. We want the foreigners must be identified in the country, must be documented. So we got our policies are very, very straight. And in the next in a month's time, we got a policy conference in Joburg where we will spell it out for the election, what our policies and what we want and how we are going to attack to get the voters to vote for us. And you will see We only went into 6 municipalities in KZN, of which we got 12 seats already, Shafat. And you know what? We came in the very very tail end. Take in my case, I went on the 28th of September, and the 1st of November, 21, was election. I only worked 6 weeks on the ground. And if you take where I came in Musgrave, without even putting my billboard or anything, Shafat, only on radio and the people I know and all that, I was short of about maybe 120 or 130 votes. I could have won this ward here in Musgrave. So this is it. If people want to back somebody who will give back to the community, that's what they are looking for, Shafat.
I'm looking at a lot of questions are coming through, and well done there, Ahmed. Very comprehensive indeed. Ahmed says, Assalamu alaikum. Me, Bhai Shafas, and Bhai Ahmed. Me, Pakistan, stay here for 20 years. Me make very good business. Why South African so jealous of me make good business? 2 cars, 1 Mercedes, and 10 shops. Me work very hard, and all like me. Please, Bhai, don't be jealous. Allah give rosy. Ahmed, how you respond to our Ahmed Bhai from Pakistan?
See, Shafat, rosy rizq come from Ahmed from Allah, right? He's here. His rosy was written from Pakistan to South Africa. Today he's got 10 shops, 2 Mercedes, and all. Alhamdulillah. But only thing what we say, he must be 100% compliant in terms of the South African law. Make sure he's got all his papers. He's got proper documentation, because the time is coming. All the people that came from 1994 to today, when the new government is going to come, they are going to change the law, and they want to recheck, because the new system, you'll see the new IDs have already come into play. There will be new licenses coming into play in the next year or so after the election. Once all this starts coming, they will eventually, some of them will get caught, because they came here, they paid, and they got the paperwork. Those are the ones who will get into trouble. If you have done it 100% correctly by doing the paperwork with Home Affairs properly, you don't have to fear. This is your home. You made your home here. We will welcome you, because everywhere else we go, they welcome us. Long as you got money, you want to run a good business, clean business, and you want to stay in the country and abide by the rule of the country, we don't have a problem. That's what we are saying.
Tawfiq says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafa'at and Ahmed Parak. Don't get fooled. We want to know who are these people that are the criminals that are buying off all these illegal products and supplying here. And sometimes they are these same foreigners that are killing each other for turf war. Don't play like good things on radio, because the fact is you are duping the people, and you are prone to criminality, and you are part of a mafia ring. Tawfiq is being very hard-hitting there, Ahmed.
Shafat, he's right there. Tawfiq is right there. Because end of the day, the people that are coming here, they come here, and then some of them from their own country, they are criminals. They've got, this is like greener pastures to knock somebody, and they sell drugs here, they're buying stolen goods here, they're doing a whole lot of things here. But, you know, because our steps is not strong, and that's where our problem comes in. If we had a good force, police force, because today our police force, you look after them, they let you go off. So that's the problem. So there's no closures to all our problems that we have got with the South African police force here in the country. Now, these guys come here, and it is a turf war, because they want to make quick buck, and they want to run away back to their own country because they don't want to get caught here.
I see this is hotting up here, and looking at Abdul's contribution this morning. He says, Chef, blame the landlords. They're allowing these guys into their premises, and they are paying 10 times the rent that locals can pay. They're putting us locals out of business, and our local guys are suffering because of these foreign influx. They have ruined it for us locals. How do you respond to Abdul there, Ahmed?
Shafas, Abdul, you know what, the law is very, very simple. If you employ a foreigner who is not got paperwork or anything, the fine is 200,000 or 1 year in prison. That's how the law is very, very simple in this thing here. But the thing is this, our brothers are employing them and then they're taking flats. In one flat, they make small rooms, and each one is paying between 1,500 to 2,000 rand. So they're getting that same flat. If they had to hire it, a three-bedroom flat, they will get 10 grand. In this case here, they'll get 30 grand. That's the problem. So, you know, it's a greed they're going into, but eventually all that is going to come to an end.
No, Boniface, no more of those questions. Yeah, put it that side. I'm not taking that question. We opened a can of worms here, Ahmed. Everyone wants... We'll leave it at that, Ahmed. Let's talk about what's happening in Itikweni and, you know, the mayor, Kaunda, still ruling the roost, Ahmed.
Shafat, he met with the Ratepayers Association during the course of this week. And the Ratepayers Association in Westville, they actually walked out because they were not happy with his speech there. But Shafat, people must understand. You can't hold, and I keep telling this over and over, you cannot hold Islamically too. In fact, I was speaking to a few ulamas too. If you stay in a country when you're not happy with the rental or the government or anything from the government, but you cannot hold your money back. You pay what was supposed to be paid and do an objection, which is the grounds are there. I got objection forms. If anybody wants it, you do that. And Shafat, you know what they're doing at the moment? Simple. Say, Shafat Ahmed Khan stays in Spingo Beach. He is not happy with his rates, water, and light bill. Nothing to worry about. Fill the objection form. Send it to Itikweni Municipality. And they will say, okay, fine. Yeah, we overcharge you. This is the actual because we haven't read your meter for 3 months. That is the reason why we took an average. And this is when you add it, you calculate it, your account is 100%. But you have a problem. No problem, Mr. Shafat Ahmed Khan. Give us 10%. You're owing 220,000. Give me 22,000 rand now. Or, and also the balance you pay us over 12 months, we will waiver all the interest and penalty. And if you can't pay the 10%, you say, no, I can only pay the 220,000 rand over 12 or 18 months if you need to extend it. Tell them I'm going to pay my current bill and I pay you part of it. They'll accept it gladly. They'll put it in writing. You can sleep in peace. You got no tension, no issues, no nothing. The facilities are there, but the people are not taking advantage of Shafat.
No, alhamdulillah. And then you are there also giving people a peace of mind. And per day, Ahmed, how many people, you know, come with queries to you and, you know, you resolve it? You have a PA, you know, that does all this, Ahmed?
I get in an average, sometimes 15, 20, sometimes 25. Then you get the calls and some emails you have to attend to. So it keeps you going like 20. Sometimes it becomes like anything from 12 hours to 15 hours days. You know, this is what happens. And you have to respond to these people. People want to know. They have, you know, confidence in you and they want to know, what happened? Where it is? I sent you my email. I haven't responded. You haven't responded. So always respond. I say, you know what, I haven't worked with this year, but it will be done in the next day or 2 days. We're going to find out more about it, where the problem is. And then, you know, they want to know the right answer. They don't have a problem in paying. They want to know. A brother came to me about 7.8 million rands in rates. There was a legitimate problem that how they calculated that thing. And I went through it and then I said, you know what, do this objection. And they sorted it out completely. And, you know, a lot of masjid, today all our masjid institutions are zero rated. Now, if you take masjid, you don't have to pay rates at all because you zero rated. You apply for the exemption and you get it. And I got for our masjid too, alhamdulillah, for Musgrave, I sorted all the paper. We did it legally. Nobody can... We did it properly, legally, did the objections. We put all the five properties into one. We did the whole paperwork. We sent it to the head of treasury. We told him, this is where the problem is. You're charged us for the last 2 years. All these single individual properties for rates, you need to exempt it. These are all exempted. they passed us a credit that will it'll be in this month's billing. So we don't have a problem. So if you go and do it properly, and most of them is online. People saying, no, we can't get through. There's no such thing you can't get through. If you can't get through, come to me. I will help you. I'll give you the form, how to fill it. My officer will fill it up for you, and you just submit it there, and your problem is solved. And then the beauty part of this, once you do an objection, they can't disconnect you. That's the beauty part, Shafat.
Well, Ahmad, I tell you, really a benefit to the Ummah when you come on your segment of Straight Talk. Really a lot of barakah in it. And, you know, I really enjoy it, Ahmad. What about you?
Shafat, alhamdulillah. You know, when I finish with your radio station on a Sunday morning and a Saturday when I'm with you, you know, the whole week I got more than enough work, because everybody's phone, hey, we heard you on this thing. How can you help us here? How can we help you there? You know, these are the things. They got potholes, water, sewage, everything. It's a problem. Where we can help, that is our duty. And I got one policy. If I help you, one person I help, Allah help me tenfold. That's my policy.
I can feel the barakah, Ahmad. And I tell you, Mufti A.K. Hussain says, as long as the Ummah benefits, Shafa'at, bring in the men that count. And alhamdulillah, you are one of them that really adds barakah for the radio station. And also, you serve the Ummah with the distinction. Ahmad, your parting words before I let you go.
Shafa'at, when any brother, sister has got a problem with a counsel, doesn't understand or anything, my doors are open. My number is 082-966-6674, 082-966-6674. You can phone me. I will take your call unless you are in the masjid or anything, but I always return my call. If you have a problem, come to me. I mean, right next to the masjid at that Musgrave. My offices are there. I'm there from Monday to Friday. My office is open. You can leave your paperwork and I'll get back to you. And as wherever I can help you, I'm prepared to help you.
JazakAllah khair, Ahmad. You have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. Inshallah, we'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.